Lord, for every circumstance that they're irritated, Lord, for the aggravation that wants to rest on them, God, I thank you that you're taking it off of them right now in Jesus' name. God, if it's a circumstance, Lord, you're still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, so I ask you right now to adjust the circumstance. God, if we need adjusted, God, adjust us. Lord, I ask that you'd give us the right spirit, and I ask that you'd get us in a better mood. Now, the rest of you stand, because I could mention problems all day long, but I know everybody came in here with something. Now, I'm going to ask you to take it a step further. I'm going to ask you to put your hands up. Because some of you have not had a moment of peace until this very moment. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for who you are. God, I bless you right now. God, I magnify you right now. Lord, I praise you right now. And God, I ask that you would walk up every aisle in the place. God, for the person and they're sitting on their couch right now, God, I thank you that you're in the living room. I thank you that you're searching every heart. God, I ask that you would convict every heart where it needs it. Lord, I ask that you would change every heart where there needs to be a change. Lord, I ask right now for you to bless the word that's coming out. Bless the understanding of all of your people, God, and capture every bit of their attention in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to begin to preach a series. Today I'm just going to get our feet wet in it, and then next week is Harvest Festival, but then I'm going to be hot and heavy with it. And it's on family. It's on family because of blended families. And there's just subjects that pastors don't want to talk about because they want to keep people in the pew. Well, I'm working to keep getting heaven filled up. So if my messages get you up out of the pew, that's a problem between you and Jesus, not my problem. Amen. I'm not going to preach anything too shocking. I'm just going to keep it real. Y'all go with me to John chapter 4. There is nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. The Christian needs to learn how to deal with culture. Because if you don't deal with culture, culture's going to deal with you, and you're going to end up confused, and you're going to end up thinking that right is wrong and wrong is right. John chapter 4, we're going to begin to read in verse 3. Jesus left Judea and started for Galilee again. I've learned to try to process and digest every single verse that I read. That way I can understand it. You cannot get something planted in your heart that you don't understand. How many of you were good at algebra when you was in school? Okay, how many of you were terrible at it? Okay, I feel you. You're probably still terrible at it to this day because you never got to where you could understand it, right? I tried to help my eighth grader the other night with algebra. I thought, well, maybe if I'm a little bit more mature, now I can wrap my mind around the alphabet and the numbers being mixed together. But let me tell you something, I still don't know it because I still don't understand it. So what you can understand can be planted. So we just read that Jesus left Judea and started for Galilee again. That tells us that this was not his first trip. to Galilee. You say, well, why is that important? Well, we're going to see why it's important. Some of us keep coming to the same place, and if we would handle it differently, we would get a different circumstance and outcome. Amen? Verse 4. This time, he had to go through Samaria. This time was different for him because most of the time he went around it. But this time it was different because he made a decision that he was going to go through it. There's things in your life that if you keep going around them, it's going to keep on coming up. If the Lord comes to you and he says, we're going to go through this, then you best get your hiking boots on and make the decision to take God by the hand and let him guide you through it so you can stop going around it and you can get past it. Amen? This time it was different because he decided that he was not going to go around it, that he was going to go through Samaria. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a backstory that I usually do not get into the history and everything about the accounts in the Bible. And the Bible are not the Bible is not full of stories. It is not full of little fairy tales. It is full of accounts that happened. And so, back in the day, it says Jesus went purposefully through Samaria with his disciples for two reasons: to break down religious and social barriers and to minister to a religious but spiritually empty Samaria. Here's the part where this concerns us. Jews generally and most of the time avoided Samaria. They avoided this place. And they did that because there was a long-standing animosity between them because of some things that happened. The Jews considered the Samaritans not pure, and therefore they basically shunned them. Now, in modern day, this still goes on. There is still prejudices. There are still, oh, I'm not going to deal with this person, and I'm not going to deal with that person. I don't want to deal with, you know, we do this all the time, and we usually do it mentally, and we don't even understand that we're doing that because we've done it our whole life. We were taught that, most of us. So they didn't associate together. Now, let's go back to verse 5. And on his way, he came to the town of Sychar. It was near the field that Jacob had long ago given to his son Joseph. The well that Jacob had dug was still there, and Jesus sat down beside it because he was tired from traveling. It was noon, and after Jesus' disciples had gone into town to buy some food, a Samaritan woman came to draw water from the well. So here's Jesus. He's in a place where he's not usually at. They usually don't even associate. And here he is, and he just sits on down. You can tell when you're mature in your faith because you begin to understand that there are no coincidences. There are no flukes. It's all divine appointments. A lot of time we don't like those divine appointments because we don't act right. I said a lot of times we don't like those divine appointments because we don't act right. We like to act up more than we like to act good. I'm going to preach where we live. That's the only way anybody, any person can ever be changed is to just be honest. And today's society has a problem with honesty. We lie first to ourselves, and then we start with everybody else. I encourage you to keep it right with yourself. You can't even keep it honest with God until you've kept it honest with yourself. You say, well, God knows everything. Yeah, he does. Here he is. Jesus sits right down. A Samaritan woman came to draw water from the well. And Jesus asked her, "Would you please give me a drink of water?" And right there, he began to chip away at the culture of his time. Because normally, for many reasons, first of all, she was a Samaritan. They were looked down upon as unclean people. Second of all, she was a woman, and men did not sit there and associate with women in public. But in this moment, he first of all sits down. She comes and he begins to speak it with her. And we'll see where it even catches her off guard. But she was two things. She was a Samaritan, number one, and she was a woman, number two. Two labels. Now, I need multiple volunteers that aren't easily offended. If you're a volunteer, come on up here. I need about 10 or 11 of you. I love people that just will get involved. I really do. Yeah, that's great. Y'all just stay right here. Jack, I just love you so much. Hey, that's okay. Jack, do you need a chair?
No, I'm fine.
You're fine. Y'all stretch your hands up here, Jack. Jack, can I pray for you?
Yes.
God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I love Jack so much, but God, I don't love him more than you do. So God, I ask that you'd put him, Lord, in divine health right now. Lord, heal this body right now in Jesus' name. God, encourage him where he needs the encouragement, Lord, and I thank you that he lives out all of his days. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you signed up here and you came up here and you're not going to be offended at what you're about to get, okay? Thank you, Steve. Okay. I've got my slobber all over it, but it's anointed slobber. Okay. Here we are. This ain't your average church. I'm not your average pastor, and this is not your average message. But we're going to keep this thing real. We're going to keep it where we live. Amen. Until we do that, ain't nobody getting help with nothing. Okay. He gets this woman. He looks at her, and he says, "Can I have a drink of water?" Jesus had already started chipping away at that culture. Let me tell you something. The culture here needs more believers than it's ever needed it before, because we have got people that have served God and loved God all their life, going and living in a homosexual lifestyle, doing things that they know are wrong. The Bible says that in the last days, your enemies will be that of your own household. What does that mean? That means we got to be sober, wise, and vigilant, because we do have an adversary. And see, if you're sleeping your way through life, you're going to have a screwed up life, because the devil's going to just tack on every problem he can get. If you are sober spiritually, you're going to have a better time with fighting off the devil. But if you're just making light of everything and I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay, because we don't really want to get into the fact that none of us are okay.
Amen.
Amen. But he started chipping away at his culture. And people weren't going to just come up to this woman. This woman, first of all, she had a reputation, number one. That's going to be 2 weeks from today. That's going to be that message. We're going to get into some family dynamics here. And this is what she said. So she's a woman and she's a Samaritan. Those are her labels. So Jesus says, "Can I have some water?" And then she says to Jesus, "You are a Jew." So then she begins to put labels on him. You are a Jew, she replied, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink of water when Jews and Samaritans won't have anything to do with each other? Not can't, but won't. Not can't, but won't. There truly is nothing new under the sun. The worst thing for a believer to be is somebody that will first look at the label instead of seeing the person. Am I saying that you have to muddy up and make light of their sin? No, I'm not. But what I am saying is I have never seen somebody come to Jesus when you're... Where's my Bible? If I just go up to Brian and I'm sitting here and I just beat him over the head with the word, is he getting saved? No, he's getting abused. That's called religion. Now, Brian, if you sit up under here and you hear me speak the word, a lot of times what happens to people is the person gets to that point where they get something on the inside of them, and that's called Jesus, and they make a decision to one day take their label and they put it down right under the blood of Jesus, and they decide that they're going to be different. But the problem is us Christians, we're all self-righteous where we think that we're going to sit there and judge the people. Let me tell you something. The worst believers that I know, this is what their thing looks like. It looks empty because we don't know what their sin is. And let me tell you something. I have been in ministry. No, I haven't been the pastor other than 6 years. But from 1987, my family has been in the ministry. The worst Christian is the one that you can't tell what they're doing, because let me tell you something, they're doing all types of stuff. Amen. They're doing it all. Amen. But they're acting perfect. Amen. And they're judging everybody else. And oh, look at me, I'm here on Sunday. I don't care if you're here on Sunday so much as I care if you're in heaven. Yeah, I want you here, but I also want you to keep it real and actually be a Christian. How does God get people into heaven? How does he do that? These are all good answers. He loves them. He loves them. And that love many, many times comes through his kids. That's us. My dad always said something in ministry, and it is spot on. He always said, Kelly, you can tell about people if they're talking bad about you in their home, if they're talking bad about the pastor in the home, because their children will treat the pastor different. That is spot on. Let me tell you something. All of God's kids, we need to get on the same page. We need to understand that we've all got some stuff going on, and God's kids should not treat these ones any other way than how God would treat them, because we are just as jacked up as them. And if you don't think you are, you need to go to Celebrate Recovery and read the very first step, which is denial. Y'all good to stand for just a moment? Praise God. 2 or 3 months ago, I had someone and they were upset. And people think that the preaching is the hard job. The preaching is nothing. I could do this with my eyes shut, half sleeping, okay? Because the preaching part is inside of me. It's been there my whole life. Now, the personnel side is where it's a challenge. Right, April? Because people are upset by the bushel fools most of the time, and I know nothing about it. Most of the time, it's not even nothing I did or said. But this person, they texted me a book. And I'm going to just explain something to you. Do not text me a book, because I ain't got the attention span for that. Thank God, amen. It's just the truth. I said, we're going to keep this real. I don't have the attention span to read no book. If you have a book, you need to tell this to me in person because that's your best shot of keeping me on task with you. This person sent me a book. They were upset. They were upset with this was a grown child, and they were upset with their parent. And then they started threatening me. Now, let me just tell you something. I'm as wild as a buck deer with some things. And one thing I will not tolerate is people threatening me. I may look sweet, and I am, but I'm also extremely creative. This person was a homosexual. Okay? They said, my mom is so terrible, all this crap. Look here, I can't control mama, okay? Let's just keep that straight. I can't control people. If I could, I'd have an easier job. So they said, I have hired some drag queens to come to your church. It wasn't Tom. And I just started laughing. I said, that's exactly where Jesus needs to send the drag queens. If you think that I'm intimidated by your threat, you send them. Because here's what I have based the entire ministry since my ministry that started full-time in 2019. Here's what I have built my entire life on as a believer, is when you begin to love people, God will do the rest, and He will change them, and He will not change them from the outside. Let me tell you something. God will get up inside of a person where they fall madly in love with Him, and He will get them to start thinking about what they're doing, and that thinking will turn into conviction. And God will begin to convict the heart of His kids. See, don't tell me that you're a believer and you don't feel conviction. Because God's kids feel conviction. And God will get up inside of you and He'll begin to change you from your beliefs on out. And us believers, we're so worried about what people look like when they come up in here. Oh, my God, Sally says skirt's too short. You need to worry about you. You're just mad you don't look good in that thing. I mean, I get so worn out from some of it. It's just like, this is church, not the Jerry Springer Show. Let's get this on track. I've gone to meddling. God needs us to be real. Jesus sat down right by her. He said, can I have a drink? And she said, basically, she in that moment, she was saying, how can you even ask me for that? Because you're a Jew. You think that we're awful. You know why a lot of people don't want to come in church? Is they think they're being judged. Now I'm going to continue on here for just a moment. Jesus came to set people free. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is not intimidated by our culture right now. But we are. But we are. Oh, I don't want to say anything because they're going to call me a rude, judgmental Christian, and I don't want to be rude. No, you know what I'm telling you to do? I'm telling you to just love them, and some of the stuff just falls right off of them. So she says, how can you ask me for a drink of water when Jews and Samaritans won't have anything to do with each other? And that was a legitimate question. Once again, and I'm preaching from a point where y'all can relate. Because if I can get you to put yourself where this is relatable, you can live this sermon out. A few years ago, I had somebody take up an offering one night. Well, how many of you know the pastor doesn't know every single stitch of detail that goes on behind closed doors in y'all's homes and in your families and all of the stuff? Do you understand that? Well, somebody called me and they said, I just don't agree with you having that person take up the offering because that person is shacked up with somebody that they're not married to. Let me just explain this to you. Jesus sat with the sinners. He sat with the Pharisees. He sat with the whores. He sat with the tax collectors. He sat with all of them. Okay? And when the Pharisees and all the legalistic people wanted to be a certain way, then he would draw lines in the sand and he would say, okay, you without sin, you just cast the first stone. What is he continually in his word trying to tell us? Stop judging people and stop putting labels on them because you got your own labels that you need to deal with, first of all. But second of all, how many of you know that we don't even begin to understand what is the person behind the label? We don't know because most of what goes on with the person, they can't even talk about because it's extremely painful for them. Am I making over any of these sins? Absolutely not. But can I ask y'all a real question? Do you know that everything that's represented here is in some way a sin? Do y'all know that? Do you have a moral compass that tells you right from wrong? How many of you, this is going to really tick some folks off, but you'd say, I'd like to lose about 10 to 15 pounds at least. Okay, let me tell you why I asked that question. Because when you start getting a little chubby, guess who's the first person to know it?
Me.
You. I told Dad the other day, I said, I got to lose about 20 pounds, but I'm not going to even go there yet. I'm not going to commit to that right before the holidays. I'm not dumb. I'm going to eat Mama's gravy and all of her other things. All of these things represented here, and this isn't even a fraction of what I could have put up here. I don't even have enough people to represent all the stuff that's going on in today's world. But everybody that is something, they know it. They know it. Y'all can be seated. Just give me your papers back. I loved this Democrat and Republic one. People have literally lost friends that they've been friends with for 20 and 30 years over that stupidity. Oh, my gosh. And I don't know what other to call it besides pure stupidity. You really mean to tell me that you're going to not be friends with somebody that they're voting different than you? I'm asking y'all to sober up because here's what the devil's doing, dividing. And we're allowing him to do it. Verse 10. She's asked for the water. He's asked for the water. Says, you're a Jew, we shouldn't even be conversing. And in verse 10, he answered her with something extremely profound, and he says this, Jesus answered, you don't know what God wants to give you. Right here is where the whole story takes that shift. This started out about a place where Jesus usually goes around, but then he decides to go through it for a very specific purpose. God has put you in this time frame on this earth for a very specific purpose. And a lot of people are not living out their purpose. And we're missing the mark. And one of the reasons we're missing the mark is we're too concerned with putting a label on somebody and saying, well, I don't want to deal with that person. They're deadbeat and they're not going to change. I don't want to deal with that drug addict because they're just a user. They're never going to change either. I don't even want to sit by the homosexual because of blah, 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 blah. Oh, my gosh. What is God going to say to us when we all get up to heaven? I don't even want to think about what he's going to have to say because, man, I think we've gotten past the point where we just see people as people that are hurting. I think we've gotten way past that point. And he says to her, you don't know what God wants to give you. You don't know what he wants to give you. What he was really saying is you can't even fathom what God wants to do for you. And here we are. I'm not supposed to be talking to you, and you're not supposed to be talking to me, but I'm asking you for water, and you're asking me, why are you even talking to me? And then he shifts this whole experience for her, and he says, you don't even know what God wants to do for you. You don't even know what God wants to do for you. The Word of God says that he that winneth souls is wise. I believe that to be true. I don't know anything else that gets somebody to turn and give their life to God more than pure love for someone. Pastor, do you allow people with tattoos to come to the church? You know how many times I've been asked that? I don't care about your tattoos. And I'm not even going to get into the fact of whether that's biblically right or wrong, okay? And really, furthermore, I don't even think about it. I know people, and their church tells them, if you smoke cigarettes, you're not allowed to be a member. If you've ever been divorced, you can never do anything. The day that somebody shows me in the Word of God where God throws people away after there's been a problem, we'll start preaching a different message here. Here's what I know. People got problems. But God. Can you start loving his kids and can you start loving yourself again? That's what I want to ask you today. Amen. Can you do that? Amen. He says, you don't even know what God wants to give you. And you don't know who is asking you for a drink. If you did, you would ask me for water that gives life. He came to a natural well, where he knew there would be a Samaritan woman. And she came there. He asked her for a drink. And he's about to begin to win her soul. Don't tell me that God don't have you working where you're working, doing what you're doing, in the places that you are. And some of us are so disgusted with where we are in life, we just think we can't be productive in that place. And I'm telling you that you're wrong. Because God will put you, whatever's going on in your life, he will put you on that job that you hate. He will put you by that boss that you can't stand. He will put you in places where you hate, but then he wants to use you to do something for him. Will you let him do that? And will you allow a label to fall off of a person for the sake of just loving them and winning them? Amen. Let's go to verse 11. Sir, the woman said, you don't even have a bucket and the well is deep. where are you going to get this life-giving water? The problem when we approach God through rational ways is we don't serve a God that is natural. And our rational brain cannot begin to understand how He begins to work some things out. And there's times where we are struggling in our life and God is saying, this is what I'm going to do with you. And we're saying, well, God, you don't even have a bucket to get the water out of that you're asking me for. God, I didn't even graduate from college and you're asking me to do this. Lord, I don't even like people and you're telling me that I'm going to mess with people. Lord, and we go on and we begin to tell God what we don't have. Everything that God tells you to do, He's going to give you the means to do it. He's going to give you the ability to do it. I'm going to keep this real, real. Usually I make myself look bad when I do that. We're going to go there for the sake of just keeping this relative. There have been people that when God sent them, I didn't want nothing to do with them. I thought, oh my God, this person's got a reputation. They've got a label of some sort. I don't need any more problems. I don't want to mess with this one. I don't want to mess with that one. This one's this and this one's that. And God has had to tell me repeatedly, but Kelly, I want to mess with them. I want to mess with them. Look at how screwed up you are. You got me there, God. You got me. Okay. We're going to go mess with this. Some of the biggest blessings have been the people that I did not want to mess with. I'm going to say that again, and I mean that so humbly and respectfully. And please don't get all on your high horse with me about that. I love you, Tim. I love you. I said some of the people I didn't want to mess with have ended up being the biggest blessings.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I got one of them. They are as rough as I think rough gets. They told me, Pastor Kelly, I've only killed 3 people in my whole life. I said, by God, please don't repeat that again. I need to be able to claim in like a court of law, ignorance was totally bliss, okay? Please don't tell me these things. Let's keep that on the down low. Let's be quiet about that. And she told me, I love you, Pastor Kelly, but I ain't never coming to church. I was like, whoa. My natural self. Man, this person's up into church. And when they ain't here, my little heart misses them so much when they're not here. Because that person has been such a big blessing. And a lot of things that I've learned this year has been from that person. But I had to take that label up off of them first to be able to show them who Jesus really was. We see over and over where this is exactly what Jesus did. He took people's labels off and he threw them to the side and he just loved them. And he not only loved them, but he loved them where they were at. And I want to remind you, back in your worst of your worst days, he loved you right where you were at. And if you're in your worst of your worst days and you're sitting here now, he loves you exactly where you're at right now. If you're in the middle of depression and sorrow and grief, he loves you right there in that place. If you are high as a kite and you're in my service, he loves you right now.
Amen.
God's not sitting there waiting for you to get it right to love you. He loves you. And all I'm doing today is asking his kids to love people too.
Amen. Thank you,
God. A lot of the problem that's going on is because Christians will not act right. What is going wrong in our world? the family of God is not acting right. There's some days where I'm so ashamed and so thankful that all my thoughts aren't broadcasted on a big screen, because I'd be in super big trouble. Thank you, God. And then I'm like, I don't know if they are in heaven, so I'm praying to God I can get these under the blood before I leave this life, because I don't want everybody knowing what I was thinking. It wouldn't be good. But I've started to say, God, help me not to think that way. I know that that's not what you want me to think on. And God, here's something I pray on a regular basis, and I encourage everybody to pray this prayer. God, please help me to stop being a religious hypocrite. How many of you know that on your most self-righteous day, you a hypocrite? People leaving here going, well, she called us terrible. She called half the congregation adulterers and this and that, and then she called us all hypocrites. Well, yes, I did. But I called myself that first. Thank you, Rocky. I love you too. Sir, the woman said, you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where are you going to get this life-giving water? Verse 12, our ancestor Jacob dug this well for us, and his family and animals got water from it. Are you greater than Jacob? Verse 13, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again. Everybody that drinks of this water will get thirsty again. When you go into the world and you start drinking out of natural means, you're going to always hunger and thirst again. But something changes for the person and you start drinking the living water. The water that can only come from God. And when you drink the living water, it becomes life to you. And life enters you and it comes out of you. And it's a constant flow. Am I saying that everything gets perfect in your life? No, nothing is going to ever be perfect. And not everything is going to always be just fine. You may be 90% good and you got that 10% of something that's not going right in your life, and you'll focus more on the 10% that's not going good than the 90% that God worked out for you. Sober up and ask yourself, why am I focusing on the 10? I ask myself this all the time. But no one who drinks the water that I give will ever be thirsty again. The water that I give will become in that person a flowing fountain that gives eternal life. And this is a promise. Jesus drew her in and he intrigued her. He spoke to her. He let every cultural barrier, every racial barrier, every social barrier, he let all that fall. And he just saw her as a person. She was at a natural well. And he began to work on her soul to get her to go from the natural well to drinking from his well, which gave out living water. Is there anybody that you just hate so much that you'd like to have them go to hell? How many of you like Romas? Love it. Me and Dad, we were driving to Romas or driving back. I don't know. We had ourselves in just a near food coma, so I don't know if we were going back or going there. Probably coming back. And he can read me like a book. That's why sometimes I just don't get around him. Like, I don't feel like being read like a book today. I don't want Daddy knowing all my stuff because he don't worry about me. And he said, Kel, how are you doing? And I'm just the top. You just poke me too much, I'll spill the beans about it all. And I said, well, I'm doing good on almost everything, but there's one thing that I'm not doing real good about. I just cannot get over this thing with this person. Because I just simply don't like them. Now, that's bad when the pastor says that. I encourage you to go home and get in your little closet all by yourself and talk to yourself about who you don't like and keep that real with you. Because God don't like it when you don't like people. But we all got to work it out. We're about to start in on some messages that I don't think a bunch of pastors want to preach on because it just sheds a lot of light. What is your take from today? First of all, lay your label down. Begin to love yourself again. Forgive yourself for the things that you've done wrong that you're ashamed of and the devil keeps using them against you. Number two, stop seeing a person's label and just see the person. God can use you more that way. Stop saying, oh, well, it's the culture that we live in. God is not intimidated by the culture of today, but he needs all his kids on the same page when it concerns the culture on today. Y'all stand to your feet.